The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
What if the studio behind your favorite animated film wasn't the one you think it is?
What do you mean?
I mean, what if there was an invisible studio operating in the shadows that never draws a single frame but has a profound impact on almost every movie and show you watch?
That's a chilling thought. And it's exactly what we're exploring today. We're not talking about a physical place with desks and artists. We're talking about a network, a marketplace that exists in the digital underworld, the dark web.
Right. And for me, you know, as someone who's always been fascinated by the sheer technical artistry of animation, the idea that the very tools of creation, software that costs thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars, are being cracked and sold for pennies on the dollar.
It really is. And for me, it goes even deeper. It's the intellectual property, the storyboards, the character designs, entire unfinished scenes, the creative DNA of a project, leaked and traded before the artists even have a chance to finish their work. It feels like a fundamental violation of the creative process.
It's a massive, unexplored topic. We're going to be looking at everything from IP theft and cyberespionage aimed at major studios to the illegal streaming sites that are often just the tip of the iceberg.
And we're going to take you inside that world. Later in the show, we have a conversation with a source, a former dark web user who bought and sold these very assets. He's going to walk us through how it all works.
So, today on the show, the dark web and the animation industry. We're pulling back the curtain on the invisible studio.
Let's get into it.
So, to really understand this invisible studio, I think we have to start with the foundations, the tools themselves. You mentioned software that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's not an exaggeration.
No, not at all. We're talking about the entire professional pipeline. The software that models the characters, the programs that render the final image, the compositing suites that put it all together. Each one is a specialized, incredibly expensive piece of kit.
And on the dark web, or even just in these shadowy corners of the clear web, you can find the entire pipeline. Everything. For free or for a few dollars.
How is that even possible? These companies must have incredibly sophisticated security.
They do. But you're up against a global network of highly skilled cracking groups. People who do this for the challenge, or for status, or for profit. They'll reverse engineer the licensing mechanism, create a patch or a key generator, and then it's out there. It gets uploaded to a private server, and from there, it just spiders out.
So it's not one person. It's a whole subculture.
It's an industry. A parallel industry. Think about it. A major studio might spend, say, $1 million on software licenses for a big project. But a smaller, less scrupulous outsourced studio in another country? They can get the exact same tools for the cost of a high-speed internet connection.
That creates an impossibly uneven playing field. How can legitimate smaller studios even compete?
That's the question, isn't it? And it creates this moral gray area. I've spoken to independent animators who admit, off the record, that they got their start using cracked software. They couldn't afford the thousands of dollars for a license when they were just learning.
So, on one hand, it's democratizing the tools, letting in talent that might otherwise be locked out.
But on the other hand, it completely devalues the work that goes into creating those tools, and it creates a system where piracy is just accepted, a foundational layer of the digital world.
And these marketplaces, they're not just for software, are they? That's just the beginning.
That's just the entry fee. Once you have the tools, you need assets to work with. And if you're already operating in a world where the tools have no cost, what's to stop you from seeking out other things?
You mean, like the actual character models? The environments?
Leaked character rigs from upcoming films. Proprietary rendering shaders that a studio spent years developing. Entire libraries of sound effects. It all gets bundled and sold.
My God. So you could theoretically build a scene using the stolen digital assets of a major motion picture before that picture even comes out.
You could. And people do. It's not just about piracy for consumption, like watching a movie illegally. This is piracy of the means of production. It's stealing the paintbrushes, the clay, the very essence of the craft.
And that feels so much more invasive. It's a violation of the artist's workspace, not just the final product.
Exactly. And it's that sense of violation that I think is the hardest thing for people outside the industry to grasp. It's not like a finished film being pirated. That's theft of a product. This is like someone breaking into the studio at night, photocopying your sketchbook, and selling the pages before you've even decided what the character's going to look like.
And they're not just photocopying it. They're scanning it in perfect resolution and giving other people the tools to manipulate your unfinished drawing.
Right. It poisons the well. I've heard stories, you know, of teams who discovered a character rig for their main hero was being sold on a Russian forum 6 months before the movie's release date. Think about that. The animators are still figuring out how the character moves, how they express emotion. And somewhere out there, someone is making that same character do whatever they want.
That's deeply unsettling. But who is doing the leaking? Is it sophisticated external hacks, like state-sponsored groups going after a studio's servers?
That happens. There's definitely a level of industrial espionage, especially with proprietary tech. A new rendering engine, a new physics simulator. That's worth a fortune. But more often than not, the most damaging leaks come from the inside.
Wait, from an employee? Someone on the team?
Mm-hmm. It's the uncomfortable truth no one wants to talk about. It could be a disgruntled artist who was laid off, or a freelancer whose contract is ending and decides to take a parting gift. They just copy a bunch of asset libraries onto a hard drive and walk out the door.
But the security, I mean, I would imagine these places are like Fort Knox.
They are now. This whole phenomenon has fundamentally changed studio culture. It used to be much more open, more campus-like. Now, USB ports on workstations are disabled. Internet access is heavily firewalled. Some studios have gone back to using proprietary internal networks that don't even touch the outside web.
So, the actions of these few people on the dark web are forcing the entire industry to become more insular, more paranoid.
It creates a culture of suspicion. And think about the creative cost of that. Animation is one of the most collaborative art forms on the planet. You need to be able to share things freely and quickly with the person at the next desk. But if you're constantly worried that the person you're sharing with might be the source of a leak, it just slows everything down. It puts a chill on the whole process.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's not just about the financial loss from the theft. It's about the damage to the creative environment itself.
And the people buying this stuff, they don't see that. They just see a cool character model they can get for $50. They don't see the hundreds of artists and the years of work that that model represents, or the creative trust that was broken to get it out.
So, there is a complete disconnect between the act of theft and the perception of the person buying it on the other end.
A total disconnect. For them, it's just a marketplace. It's no different than buying a used video game. There's no sense of the violation that we were talking about. It's just a transaction.
And I have to assume that once an asset is out there, it's out there forever. You can't put that genie back in the bottle.
No, you can't. And that, I think, is the most sobering part of this whole thing. This isn't a problem that gets solved. It's not a bug that can be patched. The invisible studio, it's a permanent feature of the landscape now. It's a structural reality that every single person in the industry, from the C-suite to the intern, has to navigate.
It's a condition, not a temporary illness. And that changes the entire psychology of creation, doesn't it? It's one thing to create art. It's another thing to create art while knowing there's a ghost in the machine, watching and waiting to copy your work before it's even finished.
And that ghost is, it's decentralized. It's anonymous. It has no single point of failure. You can shut down one marketplace and two more will spring up. It's a hydra. And it feeds on this fundamental disconnect we talked about. The person buying the asset for $50 has no concept of the creative wound they're pouring salt into.
I keep coming back to that. The human cost. We've talked about the financial loss, the security protocols, the paranoia. But what about the artist who pours their soul into a character design, only to see it used in a cheap mobile game ad a year before their film is released? What does that do to your desire to create.
For some, it hardens them. For others, I have to imagine, it's just heartbreaking. It makes the act of sharing, which is so fundamental to collaboration, feel dangerous.
So, looking forward, what does this mean? Are we just in a permanent state of digital siege warfare? Studios building higher and higher walls, while the thieves just get more and more clever.
In some ways, yes, but I also wonder if it forces a different kind of innovation. Maybe the future isn't just about better firewalls. Maybe it's about different production models, more nimble teams, things that are harder to leak because the circle of trust is so much smaller. But I don't know. That feels optimistic.
Yeah, maybe a little. For me, the final thought is less about the industry and more about us as the audience. We have to understand that the magic of animation is incredibly fragile. And the systems we've built around the internet, this culture of instant access to everything, it has a corrosive effect on that magic. It's not just a harmless download. It's a chip out of the foundation of an art form we all claim to love.
A powerful way to put it. The invisible studio isn't just stealing assets. It's stealing a piece of that magic, transaction by transaction. It's been a heavy topic, but a necessary one to explore.
It really has. Thanks to everyone for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it gave you a new perspective on the incredible work that goes into the animated stories you love and the hidden battles being fought to protect them.
We'll see you next time.
Take care.